celebrating this remarkable story that we've been reading together over the last number of months. January seems a long time ago, doesn't it? But we have crossed the finishing line. It always feels good to finish something, doesn't it? Now, hopefully, many of you have managed to finish the E100 readings. If you're a little bit behind, keep going, okay? Keep going until you too get across the finishing line. But it's great when something is finished, isn't it? Some of you finished your exams? A few quiet nods. It feels good, doesn't it, when your exams are finished, when you have crossed the finishing line. How about some of you been working your gardens yesterday? Cleaning the car? Going shopping? All those Saturday things that you've got to do? And they're finished, okay? And today we got a chance to rest a little bit. It's great when we finish something, isn't it? But we've not finished the E100. 50 readings in the Old Testament, 50 readings in the New Testament, 100 readings since we started in darkest January. It seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? But if you want to keep going, if you've got a taste of what it's like to read the Bible and hear God speaking into your life when you read the Bible and you want to keep going but you're not sure how to do it, we've got some great resources available this morning, and Liz and Phil in the coffee lounge would love to talk to you after church. Go and see what they've got. Some really imaginative ways of reading the Bible, something that you can take away that will help you to keep on reading God's Word and hearing God speaking into your life. So we're celebrating the E100 today, but we're also celebrating something else. We're celebrating the birthday of this particular local church. Oh, you look really excited about that this morning. Every church has a beginning, and it's sometimes good to be reminded of the beginning story of how God put things together in such a way that we are here today, part of a much bigger story. And Pam is here this morning, because Pam is she's our only founder member, if I've got that right. You're our only founder member. So Pam, just stand up for a minute. I want you to see Pam. Many of you know who Pam is. Oh, brilliant. There we go. Pam was here when it all began. How exciting that must that have been? You were here when it all started. Not quite. But you are one of our founder members. And if I've got this right, we are officially 59 years old this year, from when the time the church actually started. That's quite helpful for me, because that's how old I am. I know I don't look like that, but I was born, yeah, I know, in 1958. Pam, just tell us very briefly, what was this area like when you first moved into it? Were all these houses around here? What was it like?
Well, it's about 15 months before this was actually started. Called a church.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But we had a meeting. Okay. And what was it like here? Well, this was the only, at least the little bit that we had, was the only building on this side of the road at all.
Now, can you imagine that? Okay, so when you go to church in the morning and look at all the houses and stuff, this was the only building on this side of Crofton Lane.
Yes, it was all farm crops.
Farm crops, there you are, you see. So this church started when there was very little actually being built in this area. There were just some new houses being built after the Second World War, is that right?
Yes.
And you moved into the area, into one of those houses.
That's right.
Is that right? So you were here when people started talking about a new church starting. So were you talking to your neighbours about what was happening?
Yes, and we had visitors from the church, the few we'd got as members here, who went round to all the new properties as they were going up.
Fantastic.
And encouraging people to come.
So you were inviting people to this new church where they were moving into their houses for the very first time in this area. Houses just literally being built. Now this church started as a church plant from Orpington, if I've got that right. And this was the old church building in Orpington. That's what it used to look like then. And here's an aerial view of some of the houses behind our church. Now you can see there's hardly any trees growing. They're all new houses. They've all been freshly built. And that's what it was like back in the time that we were talking about. And of course, there's lots of buildings being done here. There's a few pictures here just showing some of the building that was put here, and then it was pulled down, and we've built a bigger place out the back. And we've got a fabulous suite of buildings today, haven't we? Originally, this was known as the church in the Do you remember? Church in the Lane, is that right? Or
yes,
the Light in the Lane, is that right?
Church in the Lane.
The Church
yes.
in the Lane. So yes. there you are. That's how it started. And Pam's going to pray this morning and say thank you to God for our church. Can you do that now for us?
Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being with us right from the beginning, for encouraging us and showing us the way that you would have us go, Lord. We thank you that you are always with us, guiding us in all the different meetings and occupations that we started, Lord. We do thank you, and we thank you that you have continued to be with us now, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And here we are. Thank you, Pam. 59 years later, still helping people to follow Jesus. It's good to remember sometimes how things started, isn't it? Now, there's a little book which you can get hold of, which gives you something of the journey. Here's a picture of the inside of the church. Looks a little bit different, doesn't it? Pews are all gone now, some much more comfortable seats. If you look through this book, you'll see some lovely photographs like this. Some people in our church family are a little bit younger, isn't that right, Sarah, than perhaps today? Yeah. Ros and Marcus looking pretty suave here. That's a good photograph. I like that very much. Another one that I came across was this Hampson man. Have you recognize who that is? Roy Kemp, yeah, there he is, barbecuing away. I found a photograph of Crofton Youth Singers. There's Anne Shore. Is Anne here this morning? You are here, right at the back. This is 1989. You look like you've come back off a fantastic continental holiday in that photograph, actually. And here's a wonderful photograph of a church away day. Some of you will find yourself in that, actually. Photographs of taken about 16 or 17 years ago. But we have lots to give thanks to God for, as we say thank you to God for his faithfulness to this church in terms of the story that we're celebrating this morning. Now, of course, our story is only part of God's big story. And one of the things that we want to do this morning is we want to see how much of this big E100 story we can put together. Here's a real test this morning. Are you ready to be tested? How much of this story do you think you can remember? Well, Chris is going to help us, okay, with his famous washing line, okay? And we're going to see, with your help, how much of this story we can put together this morning, okay? We're going to think probably just do the key bits of the story. We'll make it a little bit easier, won't we, Chris?
We will. So, as we said, this is all about God's big story and learning E100. And we did this a few weeks ago, and you struggled a bit. But you're going to fly through it today. So I need some intelligent help. Elizabeth, come and give me some help. Now, actually, Elizabeth, have you finished your exams yet? No. You've been doing them since about Christmas. What's left?
English, physics, chemistry, RS.
Okay, right. It's all going to be fine. Sell this left. Right, I need somebody else. This end. Matthew, do you want to come and give us a hand? Brilliant. Got strong arms. Right, you hold that. Stand on the step. Don't fall off. Okay, so what we've got are some of the stories that we've read together and we've heard in our church, and we're going to try and put them in the right order in the Bible, okay? Really easy. So, where Elizabeth is, it's the beginning of the Bible, okay? Take all those stories we read right back in January, and they're going to come right the way through until we get to Matthew and the end of the Bible and the stuff we've read this week and last week. So, okay, let's see how we go. As you can tell, it's incredibly high-tech this morning. Right, so if you can't read it, you need to come up the front, because here's the first story. God makes the earth and the heavens. Where do we think that goes? Is it near the beginning of the Bible? Or is it right near the end? Or is it somewhere in the middle? Isaac, where do you reckon it might be? The beginning would be absolutely right. Come and pin it up. Well done. And actually, perhaps Rachel, could you give a hand to Isaac to pin it on? There you go. Right, here's another story. Jesus is born in a manger in Bethlehem. Now, where's that? Near the beginning, middle, Calvin? In the middle. Come and pin it up. That's great. Oh, here's a great story. Jacob gives Joseph an amazing coat. Now, is that after Jesus came? Is that before? What do you reckon? Near the beginning, yes. Come up the front. Now, you've got to decide where near the beginning, though. Is it after God creates the heaven and the earth? Is it before Jesus? Where do you reckon it is? That looks good. We're looking good. Here's our next story. Do you remember this one? Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So near the beginning, somewhere in the middle. Ben, you're looking very intelligently at me. And I'm going to roll with that. Where do you reckon, Ben? It's church. We're allowed to guess. It's fine. Well, here's Jesus being born. I think we go there. Great. Well done. Right, here's one we read a few weeks ago. God sends his Holy Spirit and the church starts. Where do we reckon for that one? Near the beginning? Calvin, you're doing really well. I'm going to come back to you in a minute because Henry knows the answer to this one. Henry, where's this one going? God sends his Holy Spirit and the church starts. After Jesus? Good man. Come put it up. We've heard this one already. God makes Abraham a great promise that his descendants would be as many as the stars. And I reckon Tom Higginbottom knows the answer to this one. Tom, where do you reckon? Near the beginning or near the end? Have a guess. Near the beginning, good man, Tom. See? Right, now you've got to decide, though, roughly where you think it is. Where do you think it is? Who have we got there? We've got Jacob. Is Abraham before or after Jacob, do you reckon? Before is right. Pop in there, good man. Right, here's a more difficult one, but I think you're up to this. The first Passover meal takes place. So when does Passover happen? Who's around then? Who do we reckon is around then? Calvin, do you reckon you know? Or are you just scratching your nose? You're scratching your nose, that's fine, that's fine. Okay, we'll go over here and we'll ask Emma. Emma, where do you reckon? First Passover meal. So which people are around the first Passover meal? Sort of Moses, those people, isn't it? So, before Jesus or after Jesus, Emma? Before, that's good. And how far down do you reckon? Guess. Where I am. I can't see where we are. Yes. Where we are. Quite right. After Jacob. So there's Moses. You're right, Matthew. Keep going. I'm nearly there. Right. Really important story. Jesus dies and then rises again. Where? Nicely. Calvin. Where's it going to go? Before the last one. So the last one we had at the moment is God sends the Holy Spirit. Come put it up. Good man, Calvin. Clearly your turn to wear the family brain cell. Great. Right, more difficult one. Daniel is thrown into a den of lions. Now where's that one going to go? Is that before Jesus or after Jesus? Oh, Matthew! You're right. Oh, you know the answer. Right, great. Right, right. Hand them to someone less intelligent. Right. More expendable. Right. Okay, Matthew. Sorry. Little Matthew, not big Matthew. Where's this one going to go, do you reckon? Near the end. Before Jesus or after Jesus, Matthew? Try again. Before Jesus, brilliant. So here's Jesus being born. Where are we going to go? There? Lovely, yeah. So there's Daniel. So that's when it all goes a bit wrong, and all the children of Israel are taken into exile, and there's Daniel. Oh, here's a good story. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Where's this one going to go? Josh Davidson, you're looking up at completely the wrong moment. Where's it going to go? Don't ask Cameron, he won't know. Where do you reckon, Josh? Before Jesus or after Jesus? Before is good. Might there be a space being opened up down here? So, who's in charge? Which guys are around in Jericho? This is Joshua. So, Joshua took over from Moses. Moses is the first, is the Passover. Josh, come and put Josh up. Yes. Right. So here's young Joshua coming to put up Joshua leading the people into Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Right. Here's another great story we read. David and Goliath. Now then, before Jesus or after Jesus? Joseph, what do you reckon? Before Jesus or after Jesus? Before Jesus is good? Now it's going to be crowded down here. Where do you reckon you might have to go? When's David? Who have we got here? We've got the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. We've got Daniel. Ooh. But you can guess. It's fine. Because if you don't know the answer, Rachel knows it. She's just conferring. Right, where do you reckon? Before Daniel or after Daniel? Before, yeah. Yeah. That's good. Let's squash that up. What's the one there? After Jericho or before Jericho? Try again. After Jericho. Well done. There you go. So that's when everybody has kings. Right, last couple now. Here's what we did a couple of weeks ago. Paul travels to lots of churches. Paul travels to lots of churches. So it's Paul the missionary. And who's got the answer to this? I reckon it's Emily Amos. Emily, where's it going to go?
How you doing? How's it?
Okay, before Jesus or after Jesus, Emily? After, it's good. Come put it up. Are you all sorted for your big day? Have you got a white dress? Oh, you're sorted. You're sorted. Got a white dress and a man who wants to marry you. That's normally all you need. Right. Where are you going to put that? Okay. Right, we'll leave Emily to consider. Here's another story we did. God helps Gideon to be very brave. Remember, Gideon was a bit of a wimp. And God helped him to be very brave. Who haven't we picked on yet? Oh, Jacob. Jacob, I know how much you love being up the front. Where do you reckon it goes? It's quite a hard one, actually. That's why I've come to you. Don't laugh, Megan. Right, have a guess. Before Jesus or after Jesus? Before? Right. It's a hard one, so... Where do we reckon? Anybody else want to help Jacob out? Where do we reckon that Gideon goes? So Gideon... Oh. What do you reckon, Megan? I think... Further down? Down here? It's sort of here, isn't it? It's after the walls of Jericho. It's... Judges, then kings. I think there. So it's there. It's before they have the kings. Time of the judges is given.
Hold on, Chris.
Right. Right. Last one. God promises a new heaven and a new earth. So where's that? Joe Branchflower, where's that? See? Right at the end. Right at the end, the story of Revelation that we read last week and heard about with Marcus. Well done, Joe. I gave you the easy one so you weren't embarrassed. That's great. Well done. Right, can you hold it up really high? So here is God's great big story There's loads we missed out, aren't there? There's loads of stories that we couldn't fit in, but the piece of string wasn't long enough. Let's just thank God for his great big story. Father God, we thank you for what we've learned the past few months about your great big story. Thank you for all the fun it's been reading about all the people who've followed you and served you and who you've helped. And help us to carry on reading our Bible to find out more about you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. You better get back to revising. Thank you, Matthew.
Brilliant. Thanks, Chris. We're going to stand and sing another song, okay? So let's stand up so we're ready. One of the things about our E100 story is that it's not always easy to get it into the right order, as you've just seen. Sometimes it's hard to remember which bit fits where. And I was thinking as we celebrated this morning, what would be a really helpful way of remembering this big story? And the answer I came up with was food. Now, I really like food. Do you like food? It's a nice picture of a fairly full supermarket there, isn't it? There's a lot of food there. What's your favourite food? Let's shout out some of our favourite food this morning. Come on. Chocolate? Chips? Yeah? Pardon? Ice cream, somebody say? Pardon? Yorkshire puddings? Come on, what else? Shepherd's pie? Oh, what an eclectic lot we are, eh? Is that the best we can do? Some of us like fairly healthy foods, don't we? There's a nice picture of some healthy foods. But there are lots of us here this morning, I expect, would probably prefer something much more like that, actually. Wouldn't you? That's the sort of food I love. Chips and burgers. You like chips and burgers? Yeah? Now, I thought it was really interesting. When I thought about God's big story, one of the things that I've discovered was that God gives us food, special food, to help us to remember his big story. Why? Because God knows how much we like food. Now, I wonder who can tell me what part of the story you think this door frame might represent this morning. Any ideas what this door frame might be all about? What part of the story that might be? Passover. Well done. Now I need a few volunteers. Four more people. Okay, first four people up. Let's go. Ginny, I need your help here as well. The Passover story. Come on up. You've got your hands up. Because I'm going to need a bit of help up here this morning. One, two more. Three, four. Brilliant. Thanks, Calvin. Excellent. Passover story. Does anybody know anything about the Passover story? What? Do we know anything about it?
It was when they swapped over and they stopped being slaves for a little bit.
Stopped being slaves. That's absolutely right. You see, it was a great rescue story, Passover. Well done. I'm glad that you remember that part of the story. This is a really important part of the story. And God uses food as a way of helping us to remember this really important part of his rescue plan. In fact, it was such an amazing story that people turned it into a film called Gods and Kings. And it was a fantastic production. Here's all the slaves. They didn't look terribly happy, did they? Not very happy at all, actually. And then here's some of the plagues that God sent on Egypt. There's some of the hail coming down. And then God eventually rescued his people. It's a great rescue story. But what's food got to do with that? How does food help us to remember that particular story? Well, let's go into the story for a few minutes. Because one of the things that God said to his people is that, I said, I'm going to let you go. I am going to release you. I'm going to do something for you that you can't do for yourselves. I'm going to rescue you. But a big plague is coming on Egypt. And unless you listen very carefully to what I say to you, then you're going to find that this judgment falls on you. It's a horrible plague because lots of people in Egypt died. And God said to Moses, he said, I want you to tell people, I want you to go and kill a lamb. That's a bit gory, that bit, isn't it? But I guess a lot of us like roast lamb, don't we? Like roast lamb? Put your hand up if you like roast lamb. Look at that. You see how God knows what we like, you see? Roast lamb. So God says, I want you to get a lamb and I want you to roast it. We're going to have a big meal because something very exciting is going to happen in the morning. And I'm going to let you free from Egypt. But there's something you need to do. You need to put some of the blood of the lamb, it's a bit of a gory story really, isn't it, on the doorpost of your house. So Ginny's going to help you do that now. Okay, I'm very squeamish. I don't like blood, okay? So we'll use poster paint this morning, okay? That's a lot safer, isn't it? So you're going to put some paint, right, on the doorposts, all right? Helen, I hope we don't make too much mess up here this morning. And the other thing that you need to do is you need to bake some bread. You need to bake some bread because this is special bread so that you can take this with you for the journey. So I need another couple of volunteers this morning. We've got some special bread baked. Who's going to help me here? Come on up. Ruth, you going to come up? Matthew? Ruth? Come on up here and give me a hand. That'd be great. Special bread for the journey. It was special bread that they could take with them. Here we are. Do you want to come help me? Excellent. Because they knew they weren't going to have a proper meal for quite a while. So God says, I want you to make this special bread. Do you want to take that bread from me? And you need to have that bread ready, because in the morning, I'm going to set you free, and you're not going to have a lot of time to take much with you, so you're going to need that special bread, and you're going to need to take it with you. And the other thing that you need to do is, before you go to bed at night, you need to put your coat on, so that you're ready to go in the morning, okay? So, that's exactly what happened. So the people got ready to go, they got their coats on, they got the special bread that was made. In fact, do you want to just offer some of this bread to people here? They might like to have a little taste, okay? It just keeps them awake, you see. So you just go down the aisle and give people a little bit of bread there. Look, we've got our doorposts done. That's a great job. And that's exactly what happened. God's judgment came, and it fell right across Egypt. And when God's Spirit saw the doorposts marked with the blood of the Lamb, God's judgment passed right over the Hebrew people, and they were rescued. They were set free. And in the morning, Pharaoh had enough. He says, get these people out of here. Pharaoh had set himself up against God. And of course, God won and set his people free. That's a great job. Thank you very much. Brilliant. So, God used this special food. I'm getting really hot here. I'm going to take my coat off, I think. He used special food to help us to remember some of the really important parts of his big story. And the Passover reminds us, doesn't it, how the judgment of God passed over the Hebrew people. They were safe in their house, and the blood of the Lamb kept them safe, and the judgment of God passed over them. It's a wonderful story of God's rescue plan. And God says, I don't want you to forget that, so I want you to take that special food, which some of you are starting to enjoy. Let's read this out loud together. Here's what God said to his people. Let's read it. Keep this word. It's the law for you and your children forever. And when you enter the land which God will give you, as he promised, keep doing this. It goes on to say, when your children say to you, why are we doing this? Tell them, it's the Passover sacrifice to God who passed over the homes of the Israelites in Egypt when he hit Egypt with death. But he rescued us. And then the Bible says to us, the people bowed down and they worshipped because God had set them free. And we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a great, lively song. Matt, I think we'll just do this once through, okay? And we're going to stand and we're going to sing together. Our God is a great big God. This is God's big story, okay? So let's stand and sing this once through together, and then we'll carry on with the story. Thank you. Hold this for me. You going to come and hold this for me? Thank you very much. Oh, you're putting the bread back. You got another job now. There we go. Let's hold this together, shall we? The Passover story points us forward to the big story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it points us forward. It gives us a little snapshot of the big rescue plan that God is going to do for all of mankind, for all who have faith in Jesus Christ. The Passover rescue was for the Hebrew people in Egypt. But God's rescue plan is for all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. So the Passover points us forward to Jesus. And John the Baptist was one of the people who got a real insight from God as to who Jesus really was. When he saw Jesus, one of the first times he said this, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God had allowed John the Baptist to see that Jesus was going to become the Passover Lamb. That's why these stories all connect together. And Jesus, just before he died, was celebrating the Passover meal. And he took bread and he broke it and said, this is my body. He took the Passover bread, said, this is my body which is broken for you. Then he took a cup of wine at the end of the meal and said, this is my blood. This is my blood which will be shed for you. I am going to become your Passover lamb. That's what this story is all about. So as the judgment of God passed over God's people in Egypt, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ and we repent and we believe, and our sins go in that rubbish basket that we were talking about a few weeks ago, then we too discover that the judgment of God passes over us and falls instead on Jesus, because he becomes our Passover lamb. That's how our stories begin to interact with God's story. It happens when we come to the cross. We've often said our stories only make sense in the context of God's big story. How does that happen? Well, it happens as we come to the cross, as we realize that we need God to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Just as he did for the Hebrew people in Egypt, he sets us free from the power that sin has over us, and he gives us new life when we come to the cross in repentance and faith. And guess what? It's food that enables us to remember this really important rescue plan. God gave to the Hebrew people roast lamb and unleavened bread that some of you tasted a few minutes ago. Jesus took that special meal and he took the bread and says, "This is my body which is broken for you." He took wine and said, "This is my blood which is poured out for you." And in this special meal, we remember God's amazing rescue plan. God gives us food to remember the really important parts of his big story. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. We're going to enjoy that special meal together. Some bread and some wine. It's not really wine, okay, just in case you're worried about that this morning, but it's bread and wine, so that we remember the death of Jesus. We eat and drink the special food that God has given to us to remember this big rescue plan. We're going to sing about that, and then our servers are going to come to the front. Four of our young people are going to help us, and four adults are going to help us this morning, and want as far as possible to eat this meal together this morning. There's lots of us in this room, so it's quite difficult to do that sometimes, but I'll explain what we're going to do in a few minutes. But let's sing, shall we, about God's great rescue plan as we sing together Man of Sorrows. Let's do that. Been looking this morning at how food helps us to tie God's big story together. The Passover meal, where the judgment of God passed over his people because of the blood of the Lamb. We've been thinking about the cross, where Jesus becomes our Passover Lamb through faith in Jesus. The judgment of God passes over us and rests on Jesus Christ. And we have this meal, this bread, this wine to celebrate what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So we're going to come, first of all, to say sorry to God for some of the things that we've done wrong. And there's a line which we can use together that says, "In your mercy, Lord, forgive us." We're going to pray that bit out loud. So for the actions which have angered you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the words which have angered you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the words that have wounded you and others, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the thoughts which have betrayed you, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. For the failures which have let you down, we are truly sorry. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. Amen. And Clive's going to come and lead us in a prayer. Just say thank you to God for this wonderful meal which we're about to celebrate together. This meal which allows us to be set free from the things that we've done wrong, to enjoy a new friendship with God. And that's worth celebrating. And Clive's going to say thank you to God for that. Thank you, Clive.
Let us pray. It was wounded for our transgression. It was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the power of your blood of your Son that washed and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And we have now declare we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by faith, as we walk in his amazing grace. And there is now also no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through the law of the Spirit we have been set free from this law of sin and death. Father, we just praise you for the power of the blood that has given us access into your presence to share this meal, to unite with each other, God and man reconciled once more in that place of holiness. We just praise you for this privilege, and we just ask for your blessing as we partake this meal together as one. Unite us and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is a meal for those who love Jesus. It's a meal for those who are following Jesus Christ. Sorry, Clive. So if you're following Jesus, or if you love Jesus, this meal is for you to enjoy this morning. If you're not sure, just let the bread, let the wine pass, and reflect on this big story we've been thinking about this morning. We're going to take the bread, and then we're going to serve the wine practically at the same time this morning. But as you get the bread, please take it and eat it. As you receive the cup, just hold it, and a little bit later we'll drink together as a church family this morning. But here are some words that will help us as we come to the bread in a few moments. Firstly, let's share the bread. If you're not able to eat ordinary bread and you need something that's gluten-free, there are some wafers here as well. And four of our young people are going to serve the bread. Okay. So if some one of you like to serve our musicians, okay, first of all, if you'd like to do that, that'd be great. And then if you'd like to go down either aisle, okay, and serve people the bread, starting from the front and then working your way down towards the back, that's great. We're going to sing as we do this together. The musicians will lead us in a song in just a moment, and then we're going to serve the cup. And as you receive the cup, just hold on to the cup, and then we'll drink together. offering together. We're just waiting for those at the back to be served. Use together. Here's a cup of wine, and we say together, we will remember Jesus. As the wine is drunk, we will remember Jesus. Jesus said, do this in memory of me. We will remember Jesus. Let's drink together. We're almost finished. If you're thinking this morning about Passover, we've been thinking about the blood on the doorposts and the judgment of God passing over God's people. We've been thinking about the cross and how the judgment of God passes over us and falls on Jesus. But we haven't quite reached the end of the story, have we? And our time has almost gone this morning, but I have to say something about the end of the story. We talked about the Passover, we've talked about Jesus, our Passover lamb, and now we're going to talk about this door for a few minutes. What on earth is that door doing here? Well, one of my daughters has not got a door in her wardrobe as a result of this morning, so it has to go back. But Jesus said this to us. He said, you will be drawn back to this meal again and again until Jesus returns. You see, the end of the story comes when Jesus returns. Or perhaps we could argue that the best part of the story only begins when Jesus returns. And we get little glimpses in the Bible of what's going to happen next, almost like a doorway. And that's why the door is here, really, because sometimes if you want to see what's going on, you open a door and you just take a little peep around it, don't you, to see what's going on. The Bible, the God's story, allows us to take a little peek around the door sometimes to see what's coming next. I love this picture from Narnia, one of C.S. Lewis's fantastic stories. Have you ever seen this film? As they go through the wardrobe, they discover there's a whole new world which operates in a completely different way. I love Lucy's little face as she looks around the door, that sense of anticipation, excitement about what's going to come next. And guess what? One of the ways in which the Bible describes what God is going to do for us next comes in terms of food. It's amazing, isn't it, how God knows how to talk to us and how to communicate to us. Look what it says to us in the Old Testament. It talks about a banquet feast being set for us. Here on this mountain, God will throw a feast for all the people of the world. Look at this, a feast of finest food, a feast with vintage wines, a feast of seven courses, a feast lavish with gourmet desserts. What God is saying to us in the Bible is, he said, what's coming is so amazing that you cannot really imagine how good it's going to be. So if you can imagine the best meal that you've ever had, it's going to be much, much better than the best meal that you've ever had. So the Bible, God's story, allows us to peep around the door and to see what's coming when Jesus returns. And John does that. Lots of you were doing that with Marcus's help here last Sunday morning. You were peeping through the doorway that's opened in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Here in Isaiah, God talks about banishing death forever. No more tears, no more signs of disgrace for his people wherever they are. And in Revelation, we read these words. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He peeps through the door. He gets a glimpse of how the story is going to end. God says, I'm going to make everything new. There will be no more tears, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, because the old order of things is gone. Maybe some of us need to hear that this morning. We live in a pretty messed up world, don't we? Maybe some of you are wondering, what on earth is going on with our elections? Where on earth is our country going to? One of the things that John glimpses when he goes, looks through the doorway, he says he sees God is in control. God is working his purposes out. God's story will be brought to conclusion when Jesus returns. And in the meantime, we're allowed to glimpse through the door, round the doorway, to see what's coming. We're going to sing two songs as we conclude this morning. We'll take our offering as we sing our first song, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus." That takes us all the way through to new creation and to the prospect of heaven. And then a final song this morning, which we're going to sing, which will conclude our service. Let's stand up. Let's sing. Let's bring our gifts to God.